Your Locked On Golden Knights, your daily podcast on the Vegas Golden Knights, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
VGK wins its fourth straight, wraps up an eight-point road trip in Philadelphia. Hi again, everyone. I'm Tony Cardasco along with Chris Golic. You can find us on Twitter at LockedOnVGK, at Tony Dasco, at TD Chris G. Our YouTube channel is there for the taking, for the liking, and for the subscription at LockedOn Golden Knights. I didn't know where I was going with that.
That's okay.
So, Chris, Golden Knights, they lost in Florida, and then they reeled off four straight wins, including last night's 5-3 victory in Philadelphia. So Vegas now, surprisingly, suddenly reaches the 90-point plateau, 90 points on the season. And what's been impressive during this run, they haven't trailed in the last four games. So they've had the lead from start to finish in all four of those games en route to this win streak.
Yeah, I mean, everything is going well. We were concerned. Everyone was concerned. You go through Twitter, look at some other people. You know, I think Sinbin, a monster of a trip coming up. We'll see what happens. And, you know, it's totally fair. It was all, you know, there was concerns. And 6 points felt not just successful, but, hey, this is good. We weathered a good storm, and we set ourselves up for playoff contention. You beat two teams, two Stanley Cup contenders in Tampa and Carolina. Carolina for the second time in, what, 9 or 10 calendar days, and, you know, dominating fashion and with the shutout. Florida, the team wasn't ready, right? First game, you know, traveling across country, a little too much of that Florida sun, as Cassidy looks like his tan is wearing off a little bit finally, so it was a little concerning there, but looks like he's all right. And the team got down to business, and they almost snuck out, you know, something in that game against Florida. They almost got a point. They almost got it. So overtime, they had some chances. The Philly game, a little concerned for the first 4 or 5 minutes. It really felt like the Florida game. VGK was a little flat early. Philly had some really good chances, but, you know, just there's Pavel Dorofeev doing his thing, and boom, off and running.
You called VGK's performance on Twitter in the third period leaky, but they held on for their now 30th victory when they score first. So 34-2. My goodness.
We found what we need to do, right? Score first, and life is good. And, you know, VGK has had a little bit of a history of leaky performances, basically starting actually most recently with Jonathan Quick coming in. I'm not knocking Jonathan Quick, but this is now, I think, in his four starts, three times, multi-goals given up in the third period. Is this a Jonathan Quick problem? I'm not going to go that far. You look at this game, you look at the third period, and look at the totality of the situation. Ninth game, seven nights. Seven games, five games. There we go. One full calendar week of games. That's how it worked out with this road trip. So, you know, you look at that. Yeah, I mean, the team is tired as heck coming down the stretch. They get a pass for getting a bit leaky, right? What are you going to do, right? They just grind it out a long, tough stretch, and they still found a way. We're getting power play goals. We're getting empty netters. Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Yeah, they pooped out sort of in that third period.
That's fair.
But, you know, Cassidy and the travel schedule now, so they're spending the night in Philadelphia. They spent last night in Philadelphia, and then they're going to fly during the day. So they get a full night's sleep is basically what they're trying to do to preserve and get them back some energy.
I hope they're out having a good time. I hope they're out having a few things. I hope they're having a good time.
Ivan Barbashev, a couple of goals, including that empty netter. He's been the answer. He has. I know it's a short sample. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. But again, that player that can handle the puck on his stick when Jack Eichel gives him the layup. And that's what it was on that goal early on in the game. And that was
beautiful
phenomenal pass.
What a pass.
I mean, just like through traffic, threads the needle. And remember how much bumbling we saw with Eichel and some other teammates who couldn't handle those passes. They were just too hot. But that's at least the second or third time that I recall where, even if he didn't score, Barbashev just handles the puck on a stick. So he's very good with stick control. He seems to be that guy that just does a lot of hard work, and good things happen because he was in front of the net.
Pacioretty is still the most lethal finisher that this team has ever had. And what that could have been if there was any path to a healthy Pacioretty out there with Jack Eichel, obviously that's not the reality right now. So Barbashev isn't the finisher that Pacioretty is, but he's good. He knows what to do with that puck in close quarters. But what Barbashev is going to do that Pacioretty doesn't do as well is play defense. Pacioretty can play defense, don't get me wrong, but Pacioretty doesn't get too many opportunities on the PK unit, where Barbashev seems like he's slotting into that role of 18, 19, 20 minutes a game, depending on the special team situations right now, or even more because he is up on line one. Barbashev currently sits on 4 goals, 4 assists, 9 games played with the VGK. Bluger's doing well. Jonathan Quick, we'll talk about that later, but, you know, was this the 3rd power play goal of the road trip, or 4th, I think, actually, if I'm not mistaken. So things are certainly getting better in that department. And, you know,
we're going to talk about that too.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got to give Kelly McCrimmon some love there for addressing that and getting Jonathan Quick. You got Jonathan Quick. That's the answer to the power play, Tony. Jonathan Quick.
Shesterkin had a nice pass. He had an assist.
Ooh, I see that.
Yeah, on a goal. And I think that was your guy, Kane, who had the finish on that.
Who was that in the game with the cartoons and all that?
The cartoon game was phenomenal.
I gotta watch that. I gotta go find the replay of that.
You have to. The best part of it, the Zamboni and the Zamboni driver, Zamboni Tony. That's the best part of
Weren't the refs chickens too? Didn't someone say
it was awesome? It was so good. There was so much innuendo in there. It was just phenomenal.
I didn't even know about that game. I was online doing my thing this afternoon selling cards, and someone's like, "You're watching the Disney Plus hockey games tonight." I'm like, "Huh? Disney Plus hockey? Is this like Nickelodeon and football?" And they said, "Yeah." I'm like, "Okay, it sounds fun."
Yeah, but it's like, you know, you have the characters like talking and speaking in real time. I thought it was so cool.
Oh, I gotta find that.
The booger guy, Bluger. His goal, well, that's what he calls him. His goal epitomized VGK, perhaps establishing that identity in front of the net and that presence, and 4 cracks at it on the 4th try.
Yes.
The booger man broke through. Why would they start in Philadelphia? This is Tank City, okay? Take nothing away from VGK and its performance, but Felix Sandstrom now 110-1. Why is he even in the league? I mean, what happened to Carter Hart?
I don't know. Like, I don't know if Carter Hart's hurt. I haven't done any research in Philadelphia since the last time we played him, which was a weekend game, so we probably didn't do a whole lot of preview about it, to be honest. We probably Tony. That was a Saturday game, so we did about 3 minutes on the Flyers, 2 minutes on some random subject, and 25 minutes on what the Friday.
Yeah, I hope that folks don't – that's right. I hope folks don't start smacking me around here because I said that. I also said, you know, take nothing away from them. Cassidy after the game swaying. He said that the team needs to get out of some of these lulls. But again, he was very positive. One of the areas they need to clean up, my oh my, Shea Theodore did not play well. And I think the last couple of games defensively, I think he's had some lapses. And he was undressed in the game on Tuesday night. It was that Nick Seeler between the legs unassisted goal. And then who was it? Morgan Frost, who got around him and scored on those 2 goals. The one goal you have to give. Yeah, I think it was Seeler, right, who scored the goal. And it was just a nifty move. You have to give him credit. But, again, turning the corner when we saw Morgan Frost do that, it's like he was just a step slow in getting back defensively.
Shea Theodore is an offensive rush defenseman that can play really well on the breakouts on the other side of the blue line. And he's not a bad defenseman by any means. He's definitely not Brent Burns on defense, who's, you know, the biggest turnstile since, I think, punching bag Cam Russell for the Chicago Blackhawks. Shout out to my good friend Geek from Chicago in that reference right there. He's certainly not in that world by any means. And, you know, we have seen some not great performances from Shea Theodore as well in the playoffs. I can't recall. It wasn't year one. I think it was year two when kind of everything went wrong, or maybe year three. But either way, Theodore and Nate Schmidt, both, you know, going back a little bit farther now, have had some rough times in the playoffs. And Shea Theodore's game has grown a lot. And I'm sure he'll look at tonight's game as a learning opportunity. And, you know, whether this is a Cassidy sit down or with one of the defensive coaches, or simply he watches the film and says, okay. And listen, sometimes people make plays and they make a better play. Don't put a lot into it. Again, third period, yes, it's an important spot. You want to lock up these 2 points, especially when you got a multi-goal lead. And, you know, the only thing that was really going to stop the VGK this game was not the Philadelphia Flyers winning the game. It was VGK beating themselves. And unfortunately, there is a pattern of this going back to pre-trade deadline, which is why I think you look at players like Barbashev and Bluger, you know, being brought here to help fix some of that. Unfortunately, tonight that didn't necessarily happen. And in Tampa, it did not necessarily happen. At the end of the day, though, it's 8 tough points when the calendar, you know, just barely turns March. So, you know, it's there, but we're not going to put a whole lot into that. Now, if they can hopefully have a Thursday's game against the Flames, that's going to be tough. We'll hit a lot more of that later in the week, obviously. But, you know, only one and not even a full travel day, right? They're flying out sometime tomorrow morning. So they're still going to be on Eastern time zone as well.
Something, yeah.
Even in Wednesday, less than, you know, 24 hours before they fly. So, you know, hopefully maybe the Flames are on a back-to-back, Tony. Let's see. Maybe this is part of the grand scheme. Maybe we get the Flames on the back end of a back-to-back. That'd be awesome. I just want to see your hair stand up.
Okay. So 97.5, the Fanatics, Haley Taylor, who also, she hosts the podcast, Haley's Hot Takes, that podcast. She sent me, she was in the locker room tonight and she spoke to Bluger. And Bluger had told her, I transcribed some of this, okay? He said the best stretches were when VGK was hanging onto the pucks, possessing the puck in the offensive zone. He said that, you know, this is the one area that he felt that they played very well in. And he said that they did not give up time and space to Philadelphia in the game. And I think that that's important because defensively, especially down the stretch, they felt as though they were in control of this game. And again, when they possessed the puck and when they put bodies in front of the net and they play in control, then this team is really good.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen them, you know, do very well against some of the top Eastern Conference teams. And for a good, I don't know, 50 minutes of this game, they did not play down to, you know, the Philadelphia Flyers level. Again, the Flyers, they're playing for pride. They're playing, you know, some of the players are playing for noticeability, if that's even a word. They're playing for contracts. They're playing to, you know, for the scouts up in the Mez to you know, look at them and hopefully talk to their GM about trading for them in the offseason and, you know, giving them a better opportunity. So teams like that, they're not easy to beat. And yeah, the Flyers are what they are, but that's still a group of, you know, 18 highly skilled individuals. And it's that's why we play the games, right? Any given night, any team can beat anybody. And we've seen that, you know, I mean, last I saw, folks, the Blackhawks just beat the Bruins tonight, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, which that's a screw up on their part. And you got the Tank City game happening up in, you got the Sharks and the Blue Jackets playing each other. And let's see what the goal total was in that. Like neither team, 5-5 in the third for this game right now. That game is 5-5, the Blue Jackets.
If you can't tell, we're recording the show on late Tuesday night. And so
yes.
Jonathan Quick, a little bit more work I felt than he probably expected in a game like this. He faced 30 shots, but there were a lot of high danger chances in the game. And there was one that rung off the pipe.
Yes, that second was period.
Forster.
Yep.
Yeah, Forster. They had some really nice chances there.
Philly could have won this game tonight. Hard. They could have won. Philly could have won this game.
They really could have, especially the way they came back, especially the way VGK wilted. But again, they got that luck again going where they're finishing off even the empty net goals on those plays.
You know, in VGK also, you could argue they didn't have a lot of puck luck early in the year too. And, you know, there's variance to this game. It's a game of inches and centimeters and whatever the next measurement below centimeters can be when you are talking about hitting the post, when you're talking about a puck just going up the ice or, you know, a referee making a call, a heist, whatever, you know, whatever level of variance you want to stick in there right now. But at the end of the day, when, you know, when your team's playing well, like the VGK are, good things are going to happen. And that puck luck is going to find you a little bit better. So, you know, life is good right now as we're getting some separation now. I think it's a 5-point lead in the West and about the same amount overall in the Pacific. Let's see here. So, yeah, 5 points. LA still one game in hand. So what? 8 points over Edmonton. Same amount of games played. As far as the playoff picture goes, a 15-point buffer.
Yeah, they're getting separation now.
Yeah, 3 points over the Dallas Stars.
So Dallas lost on Tuesday night. Yeah.
Yeah, the unofficial number, you know, to clinch a spot right now, I'll call it 5 points. Just that seems like a reasonable spot. I mean, is Nashville really going to get 20 more points in the next, you know, looks like 17 games the way they've been playing? I highly doubt that. The Flames, I don't know. I mean, the Flames, I don't think we've heard the last of them yet.
BGK still plays them twice more. So keep exactly. that in mind. And if they do catch fire because they're the Flames, then that could be trouble. Coming up next, Bruce Cassidy's changes to the power play unit pay off. We'll talk about that when we return right here on Locked On Golden Knights. It's that time. It's crunch time in the NBA in this season, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel. It's America's number one sportsbook because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet does not win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's very safe, secure, super easy to use. And then you can bet on everything from the money line to the point scores to the three-pointers that are drained in each game. And, of course, we like some of those exclusive bets like the 2x3, 2 3-pointers in the game's first 3 minutes. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet with $1,000 on the line in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Again, FanDuel.com/LockedOn. As you can learn a lot more, make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the National Basketball Association. Welcome back to Locked On Golden Knights. Chris Golic, along with Zamboni Tony here on this edition. And, you know, so the last couple of days, Bruce Cassidy said that he shook up the power play unit. And last night it paid some dividends in Philadelphia at skate around and at practice, I guess on Monday and Tuesday, BGK worked on a new unit. And I was trying to decipher who was out there. So Eichel, Stevenson, Marchessault, Shea Theodore, and Ivan Barbashev. I think that was the way that that unit shook out. And the end result, a couple of power play goals. And one of the areas that Cassidy was talking about, Chris, too, was the fact that VGK was not getting a lot of chances because they weren't forcing opponents into penalties, in the penalty situation. Well, one was too many men on the ice, so that's just, I guess, on Pi Day, they just couldn't count. But I'll tell you what, like they just are starting to put things together, and maybe this is the right chemistry and the right group that will get results on the power play. So that's encouraging. 2 times they score power play goals.
There was a stat circulating. You mentioned Pi Day. I don't know if I get this right or not, but if Alec Martinez would have had 10 blocks tonight, he would have gotten up to 3.14 blocks per game on Pi Day. I could be wrong if on the exact delivery there.
Right. That was from VGK's publicity department.
So they put it out there, and then the world retweeted it. So, you know, just a little more Pi Day stuff happening there. So we've been talking about where the VGK power play ranks, and for most of the year they've been in the bottom third. They had a stretch early on where they were, you know, doing very well, and then the wheels came off like the, you know, everything did in the middle of the season. And now the VGK is up to 17th place. They were, you know, sitting 21, 22 for a while. So they're climbing up the ranks, and, you know, it's razor thin, the difference of, you know, a porous power play unit to being top 10. If you remember sometime in the off season, I put some numbers together, and VGK was only like 8 goals away, 8 power play goals away from, you know, being a top 10 unit in the league. Instead, they were, again, in that bottom 20 or something like that. So you see the changes to the unit, right? That's obviously helping. And there's some puck luck happening. Shea Theodore is the one who cracked that just terrible however long the streak was where they didn't have a power play goal. And there was nothing special. He shot it from just inside the blue line. 9 times out of 10, that shot probably doesn't even make it to the goal, let alone go in. And it finds the back of the nets. Very similar goal the next night, but Chandler Stephenson tips it in. So there's some things happening now. There's traffic in front of the net. There's second and third and fourth efforts, as we saw with Bluger's goal tonight. So it's happening. It's, you know, yes, the team's been a bit leaky right now, as we talked about in the third, but everything else, including the power play, is starting to work. And the power play is of vital importance once the playoffs start, because there's going to be less power plays, number one. The refs swallow the whistles a little bit more. That's just how the playoffs go. A lot more hitting. They let the players, you know, work it out a lot more instead of, you know, necessarily trying to control the game by calling penalties like they do in the regular season. So you're going to have less power plays, which means they have to find a way to raise that overall conversion rates. Otherwise, it's going to be, you know, tough sledding, as we've seen, right? I mean, this starts with the DeBoer era, you know, the bubble playoffs. It was just, you know, not there, right? And that the beginning of the end of Pete DeBoer was his first, second, third playoff series with the team.
Pretty soon, we will see. I'm going to guarantee it. It's going to be plus money,
guarantee,
too.
A guarantee.
It's going to be a VGK embellishment call, because they're starting to fall over sticks now to try to create power play opportunities.
What was it in the first Mighty Ducks movie? Take the hit, get the fall, get the call, or something, where they're out there
like that,
taking dives and stuff. And it was so bad. Like the goalie, Goldberg even, and they said they were going to try and sign Goldberg, I think, when things were getting really bad there for a little bit. But Goldberg even like takes a dive or something like that. And yeah, that's listen, you got to sell it sometimes, Tony. He's got to sell it. There was a period of time where the refs were calling embellishments. So they were taking both players, right? If there's a trip or a hook or something like that,
right,
they would still take the player, but then they would give the embellishment. And the symbol literally used to be like this, like for diving and stuff. And I've actually called a couple of those when it's really bad. But
what is it now? Do you know?
It's probably the same symbol or unsportsmanlike conduct, you know? Uh-huh. Unsportsmanlike would be like the technical in the NBA.
Oops. Yeah, in the NBA. Yeah, I just you notice though that they are. I mean, and for Cassidy, he says the best way to create those power play opportunities is to keep moving your feet. Right. That's
always
pretty much the key.
And that's
a lot of folks might not understand, you know, like some of the technical side of what it takes to draw penalties. So
no, you got to keep moving your feet. If you fall like a sack of potatoes the second someone touches you, ref's not calling it. If you are being hooked on your waist and your knees buckle, you're not getting that call, because that means you're just simply flopping right there. And also on the same side, when you're playing defense, if you're trying to catch someone, you're stick checking them, you're, you know, whacking them on their side, which is, you know, permissible to a degree in the NHL. If you're doing it without your feet moving, that's when the ref's going to put their hand up. But if you keep your feet moving and keep working to stay with that player, most of the time, unless you're really close on the hands or you do something dangerous, they're going to let it go unless you take the player down in broad daylight.
And the Flyers, by the way, last in the NHL in power play efficiency. They are in last place there. Jonathan Marchessault continues to play hot hockey. 3 goals in the last three.
Madness.
You like that, huh?
I love it. I don't like it. I love it.
3 goals in 3 consecutive games. So he's definitely come to life there. And I just like the way things are starting to gel with this team. And then also, too, Pavel Dorofeyev scored a goal for the Vegas Golden Knights.
A real goal.
It didn't have to go off his visor to go in. Even the Philadelphia crew that was working the game, they were making fun of it, making light of that.
I was watching that feed too, and Dorofeyev got laid out afterwards. Was it Giroux or Lemieux? Someone laid him out. Lemieux. He just got laid out afterwards.
Did you notice D'Angelo playing William Karlsson tightly? He didn't even get one shot off. I think he was intimidated.
William Karlsson. He.
D'Angelo versus, come on, versus Karlsson. Are you? I mean, Bergeron Jr. didn't have a chance.
Bergeron Jr. Oh boy, here we go.
When we return,
Carlson's done fine. He's doing fine. Leave him alone. Leave your nephew alone.
When we return, we have the trade deadline acquisitions just paying some really strong dividends for the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll talk about that as we return here on Locked On Golden Knights. If you are looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want all the fat and calories, you've got to try a Built Bar. And again, if you know that your goal is to eat healthier, you have to go with the Built Bar. Built is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious. You won't think that they are good for you, perfect for any kind of occasion. And what makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in all these unreal flavors. Unbelievable with churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been telling you to order your Built bars at Built.com, but now you can just go right down the street to your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today, go to the pharmacy section, and you can grab yourself a box of Built bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. And at Sam's Club, you can go into the store and grab a 13-bar box with all of the hit flavors, brownie batter, and churro. And you can thank us later or go to Built.com. Welcome back to Locked On Golden Knights. Tony Cardasco here in Las Vegas. Zamboni Tony, they call me now. After the Big City Greens episode there on Disney, that was just so much fun to
Who's
watch.
Calling me at 10:15 at night, Tony? I feel like I should answer this.
We should put them on the air. That's what I would do.
I've done that when I get the scam likely calls. if I'm doing my card shows, I will answer them and I'll mess with people.
That's awesome. Yeah, we should put them on the air.
Good content. Good content.
My man Chris Golic is there, and of course, you can find us daily here, Locked On Golden Knights. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel, Locked On Golden Knights, or follow us on Twitter, especially at TD Chris G. So much fun. And wow, you had the youngins with you in that report, huh?
Yeah, we had a fun night tonight. So we didn't do a spring break trip like we normally do. So each night after I'm done with my stuff, I'm just kind of getting them out of the house for a little while. What
They're
we
off
do tonight?
School this week or school's shut down?
Yeah, spring break this week, early this year for CCSD.
Yeah, that's kind of early.
It's very weird, but let's see. We started at Chili's, went to Town Square, let them play in the park for a little bit, and then took them to Kiss Mini Golf at the Rio. The Rio is such a dump right now.
Yeah, man. They're going to put a ton. They're going to put a ton into that property because the A's are going to be playing there. So,
well, what, yeah. DreamWorks, Dreamscape, whoever bought it, and it's going to. Yeah, there's an end game there, definitely. And just like the Rio, that used to be, like, for everyone that's a little bit older that, you know, knows the Rio 10 years ago, awesome place. 15, right. 20 years ago, amazing place too.
Even the fruit on top of Rio Rita's head is starting to rot. Amazing. I don't know where that came from.
Pretty awesome.
Amazing story. Jonathan, of course, Jonathan Quick, 4-0 with the VGK, 0.930 save percentage. And again, he plays at a very high tempo, very high pace. I know Cassidy was pointing out some of the things that he did on the ice and said that he helps to clear the puck. He went behind the net one time and he started a breakout, which definitely pleased Bruce Cassidy. But again, these acquisitions at the deadline have really begun to shine for VGK. They're very important pieces. They weren't, I think Wausau Aaron, or one of our good friends on Twitter, had said, these weren't like the shiny new toys, but they all serve a purpose. They all, each and every one of them, Jonathan Quick, Barbashev, the Booger Man, they all have roles for VGK.
Remember when the VGK was struggling so bad at home early in the year, in the middle, you know, pocket of the year, basically under 500 at 500? They're 21-13 at T-Mobile all of a sudden, Tony. I just saw that right now. That's something. Only giving up 188 goals overall in the season, which is almost 40 goals better than the next closest teams in Seattle and the LA Kings. So, you know, it's kind of all happening right now, like I said earlier. And like I said, I mean, you know, Barbashev, who we, you know, I jokingly said his name and made a snide comments when we talked about that. Like, oh, this guy had a huge year last year. He's not doing as well. Perfect for the VGK. I backdoored into that one. And then Teddy Bluger, he wasn't on my rod. He wasn't on anyone's radar. Like, who even knew he was on the block? And then this Jonathan Quick situation, I think unofficially, I'm the first one in the media circles that said, you know, F it, let's get Quick. Like an hour after the Columbus trip.
Right.
I'm like, oh, let's get Quick.
And then all of a sudden the
rumors started. I'm like, ooh, okay, that was pretty cool. But yeah. I mean, listen, Kelly McCrimmon, guys, let's go back here. Let's go back down memory lane for a second. Max Pacioretty gone for nothing. Oh my God, we traded Pacioretty for nothing. Future considerations. What are we doing? This guy knows absolutely nothing. Well, Riley Smith, Keegan Kolasar, Nicholas Haig, Nicholas Waugh. That was all part of the way to have that retention for them. We signed Aiden Hill in the offseason. Who the heck is this guy? You know, you go on from there. And then Phil Kessel's had his moments. I still hold out hope that Kessel, we're going to see a little different side of him come playoff time. And then, you know, back to the deadline situation. What happens if we don't get Quick? What happens if we don't get Barbashev? What happens if we don't get Bluger? Where are we now? How many wins do we get on this road trip? Like, is there a world where Patera might have been our goalie with the keys to the, you know, the keys to the car until Logan Thompson, until Aiden Hill. Well, Aiden Hill's not even skating right now, until Brassois comes back. Like, and when are they coming back? So, you know, the point of this segment, when I hit Tony up on the side, we talked about our show, I said, Kelly McCrimmon deserves, especially if they do win the Pacific, a nod, a mention, a nomination for the Jim Gregory Best GM of the Year Award or GM of the Year Award. How can he not? I'm not saying he deserves to win necessarily. You can look at some other rosters that have done a lot of great things, but you start from the offseason, you look at this path that the BGK was on, you know, like most teams, the GMs are absolutely hated individuals, no different in Vegas since our beloved Marc-Andre Fleury was sent packing. And you look where this team is right now. You look where it's been for the last six seasons. How do you guys not give love to Kelly McCrimmon? And this isn't for all of you. I know a lot of you guys are coming along, but I can go on Facebook right now and I can make a comment about Kelly McCrimmon stinks and blah, blah, blah. And there'd be four or five clowns. Yeah, we trade Marc-Andre Fleury for nothing. How dare we? Derek England should still be a Golden Knight. Like, you know, all these things.
Okay, so VGK currently with this lineup, I would not mess with it. In other words, even if Keegan Kolasar is ready to return, yeah, hold him out a little longer. Let's see.
Oh, you wait till he's ready. I don't disagree with that. You wait till he's ready. You don't rush it.
I mean, no, but even if they're ready, I just don't think the Cassidy should toy with this lineup right now because they're just
They like Kolasar a lot.
I know. They're playing with such good pace, though, you know, in Carrier, man. What in the world?
Well, that's indefinite. I mean, I think that situation is worse than Mark Stone, to be completely honest.
You think it'll be okay? You don't think he'll be back for post?
I think if I'm going to handicap him, I would give him probably a plus four-digit number and Mark Stone a plus 500 to 600 number for we see him at some point in the playoffs.
The only change, obviously, you know, send Patera down and then bring up one of the two other goalies, either Thompson, of course, or Brossoit.
The thing we have going for us right now, and credit Shea for all everything she does on our interactions on Twitter and stuff.
Very good.
The roster limits change a lot as far as number of players and things like that. So the good thing is I don't think any important decisions need to be made as far as rostering, not rostering goaltenders now that we're past the trade deadline and once the playoffs start. Now, the important decision, who's our game one starter going to be, you know, let's just brainstorm for a second. Now that we're in the third segment here, so when we kind of go off the rails
quick.
Yeah. I mean, if all four goalies are healthy,
you have to go with Quick based on the experience. That's the major factor.
I do think so, Tony.
And he's got two Stanley Cups, and you know what?
92 if they just or 94 well, playoff games.
Right.
He has more playoff games than Logan Thompson does regular season starts.
Wow. That's crazy. What a stat. And if they just play well defensively, they'll make his job a lot easier. And again, it's about funneling teams to the outside and keeping them just out of the crease. It sounds simple, but at times they just get away from that game. But They've been helping out every goaltender, pretty much bailing out so many games. You could go back and point to the defense coming up big in late game situations, block shots, helping out goaltenders. Yes, they've stood on their head. At times, LT has played way over his head. Hill has played way over his head. But at the end of the day, I have to go with the experience factor. And we've been begging for an experienced goaltender for the playoffs. And here he is. Here he is.
I think that if we're in a situation where you rely on the goalie to steal a game because our defense isn't playing well, or if one, two of our defensemen go down, which is very likely, it's just how the playoffs, it's an older unit, it could happen. If it's a spot where you're asking, and I'm trying to tailor this the right way. I'm not saying Logan Thompson is better than Jonathan Quick necessarily, but I am saying that Logan Thompson, if there's a spot where it's going to be a barrage from the word go because Alec Martinez is out, then I can maybe see an argument for Logan Thompson, especially if, you know, Jonathan Quick had a game where he did give up, you know, four goals plus and it just didn't look that good. But when the defense is there, you have a very professional unit of six defensemen who I'll take against any six defensemen in the entire league right now, top to bottom and everything in between. And, you know, those 92 or 94 playoff starts and probably nearing 20 Stanley Cup games played, or at least, you know, between 10 and 15 Stanley Cup games played, you know, give me that experience. And Logan Thompson, listen, he's in a wonderful spot for a long career. And I think he is our goalie going forward for a long period of time. But listen, we got Jonathan Quick here. Logan Thompson can learn maybe even more from him than Marc-Andre Fleury for a little bit. Who knows?
The three goals that were scored by Philadelphia, the one was like a double deflection with
that doesn't count.
It's not his fault. And then the other two, Theodore just gets undressed. And he on that one, you know, play where they're batting around the puck, if Dorofeev were in the middle there, it would have went off of his visor and went into the goal, too.
Bruce Cassidy hasn't said we need one more save.
He has not said we
need our goalie just to make one more save.
Confidence in a veteran goaltender. It's all about that, too. He's not rocking as much. Well, sometimes he is, but okay. But, yeah, no, and he even has a sense of humor lately, so I guess he's doing pretty well. So, all right, man, we'll wrap up today's show. We thank everyone for tuning in. Thanks for making us your first listen today, and make your second listen Game to Game NHL. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NHL with local analysis from, of course, people like my man, Chris. It's only on Locked On. And again, it's Game to Game, available on the Odyssey app, on YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. For my man, Chris Golic, I'm Tony Cardasco.
The other guy/Zamboni Tony.
We appreciate everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on Locked On Golden Knights. Take